go to the Lord one more time. Father God, now we come to you to hear your words, which you have taught us so long ago, Lord, about the cost that we may face for following you. Lord, I just ask that you remove me from this and let your Spirit speak to each heart that needs to hear this morning, Lord. We thank you for that. And in Jesus' name, we ask all of this. Amen. Well, folks, today we're going to talk about an extremely difficult teaching of Jesus. On one hand, it's difficult, but on the other hand, we see it every day. And this is called the cost of following Jesus. We'll be in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33 when we get to it. But first, I want to tell you two stories that's going to fit in with the text today. In San Francisco, there was a young man by the name of Jamal. Now, Jamal came out of a Hindu-Muslim background. His father was Muslim. His mother was Hindi. They were from the Indian area over there. And they owned a restaurant in San Francisco. And he began listening to a young man that was coming by sharing scripture with him. And slowly he began to ask questions about the truth of what the gospel told him. And folks, I get this from a book called The Costly Call, and it's all about people who paid a price for following Jesus Christ. And so Jamal started asking his dad and his mom, and neither one of them didn't want to have anything to do with the Christian faith. They believed in the stereotype Christian, you know, the one we see on TV sometimes where we're self-righteous and we have all this stuff and we're always putting other people down and telling them not to have fun and all that kind of stuff. That's bogus, okay? But anyway, Jamal asked the questions and slowly he began to believe what the Bible was saying. So he just said that he was going to become a Christian. And the minute he said that, his father cut him out of the family, cut him off from all sorts of income, cut him out of the inheritance, and told him that if he did this, his father was going to kill him because he was apostate. Well, he went ahead and became a Christian. And guess what happened? His father kept his word. The father, first of all, cut him off from all sorts of money. He was out of the family business. He was shunned at family. He was not allowed to even show up. And then, one time, when he wasn't looking, the father actually went to his house and shot him dead in what they used to call an honor killing. He gave his very life for simply following Jesus Christ. Now, that's one example. The next example I want to show you is that there used to be this old country road back home. It was in Jones County, Mississippi. And on that road, one day I was going to junior college at the time, I saw this giant concrete slab show up. It had been where a barn had been before, so I didn't think nothing of it. 2 weeks later, I saw the framing go up, and this was going to be a big two-story house. They had the bottom frame, and they had the decking for the second floor, and they were starting to run pipes. And then the next week, nothing changed, and the next week, nothing changed, and the next week, nothing changed. 6 months later, the wood and the framing started rotting because they had got so far and had stopped. And I found out later that they had not got the loan they anticipated. They ran out of money, and they couldn't finish what they started. Now, we're going to see how Jesus puts that about being Christians. And it has to do with paying a cost also. Well, as we said, this is going to be one of the most difficult teachings of our Lord. But we can pretty much agree, every one of us, that we need to give things up to follow Jesus. Yeah, we need to give up the world. Yeah, we need to give up bad habits, all these kind of things. Now, we're not saved by doing that. Let's make that clear. These are things we do to honor and be obedient to God. Our salvation comes from the blood of Christ alone. Our faith in Him alone, okay? But the good works I'm talking about now are things that we do to honor and respect Him and to be obedient to Him, okay? But what other things should we give up? Important things? Absolutely. Let me explain. Luke 14, verse 25 through 33. And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, If any man come to Me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Now that kind of hits you right in the gut, doesn't it? Aren't we told through the Bible, the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother? And here's Jesus saying, no, if you love them more than Me, you cannot be My disciple. But He also wants us to understand, yes, we're still being obedient and take care of our family and all that things. Yes, absolutely. But where there comes, like Jamal, when there comes a time when your family says, do not follow God and you belong to God, you have to fish or cut bait. You have to decide what is more important to you, your eternity or what you're going to lose here on earth, your life, your wealth, whatever it may be. All right, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? That's like the building I was talking about. They got halfway up with the carpentry and then they had to quit because he didn't have any more money. They didn't count the cost. Verse 29, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Verse 30, saying, this man began to build and he was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Those are some very powerful and strong words and difficult words for us in our American mindset to understand. Some folks across the world, let's think about the Christians that were killed in Africa this past week where they went in, they burned down the villages, burned down the church, and murdered hundreds of them. They paid a cost. They knew that that was possible to happen over there. But yet they went and worshiped anyway. We can agree that we must give up ourselves to follow Jesus, but do we really do that? And what does it mean to give up ourselves? It means not only the things we like that may be sinful. Yeah, we can all agree to that. No smoking, no drinking, no drugs, all that kind of stuff. Excuse me just one second. But what about the other stuff that we love? What about our family members that aren't following Christ? What about our jobs that make fun of Christ? What about people that we know casually? What about our bad habits? Like we said, we have to be able and willing to give up all for the sake of Christ. You know, there is a false gospel that teaches us that we can keep all the sinful things as priorities in our lives and have Jesus together at the same time. This is bumpkus. It's a lie straight from the deceiver himself, promulgated by those who seek after their own flesh, their own wealth, their own power over misguided believers. These falsehoods of false gospels are dispelled by the truth found in this text today. Now let's go back to the text, verse 25 and 26. And there were great multitudes with him. Jesus had a lot of people following him. All right, they were listening. They were hanging on every word. They'd probably been fed, you know, the 5,000. They knew he did miracles, all these things. And so he was wanting to tell them and get straight to the point. And he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, folks, we can kind of understand that, but you got to understand the culture and the time in which Jesus said these things. Family was everything. It was what took care of you. You didn't have Social Security. You didn't have hospitals. You didn't have nursing homes. It was only your family. And if your family didn't like you, you were out on the street begging. Okay? So to turn your back on them meant something incredibly hard to do. And what about other cultures we have nowadays? We understand that there are cultures that worship their ancestors. Their family is the most important thing going back hundreds of generations. Are they willing to give that up to follow Christ? Many are, and many pay the price because they're kicked out of their family by the other family members. It's difficult for us to understand that. And that word hate literally means to put everything, put it away, to make sure everything that's more important comes before that. Okay, to despise. Not in like we think, oh, I hate this, I want it to die. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about to make it less important compared to the more important things. Okay? And it says, even if you own your own life, you cannot be his disciple. Now, folks, we can understand that. Greedy people, people that want wealth for themselves and power and status and everything, that we kind of get that. But what it comes down to us, what's more important to me? Being popular for young people or being wealthy or being whatever it may be, have power, is that more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ? If it is, you cannot be his disciple, period. His words, not mine. And we look at that and we say, well, I want this and I want that. God does not demand that you give up everything in the way that we think it. But He demands you must be willing to if He calls upon you to do it. If you're not willing, you are not and cannot be His disciple. Difficult teachings, but very true. It's not your best life now, as some famous TV preacher has said. It's your best life in eternity, because that's what's important. Eternity. This life is over. You've lost everything. They don't put all your possessions in the box with you when they put you in the ground or put you in the oven. They don't do that. Okay? What you take with you is only what God has given you. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The conversation about losing all for Jesus, as we talked about Jamal earlier, is very important. We can even take local situations. Let's think about our Mormon neighbors, okay? When you're raised in that religion, and folks, it's a false religion, and we're going to cover that on Sunday nights pretty soon. Now, I know a lot of us know Mormons, and we have family members who may be Mormons, but folks, that is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, period. They made Him up. Okay, and all the rules and regulations that they have, just because they use parts of our Old Testament, it is wrong. Okay, they need to stick with the Word of God given to us by the apostles and all those people that have given their lives over the years to give us the English translation and the other translations. That is who is giving us the truth. Okay, and I'm sorry if that offends somebody, but I don't care if I offend you in this point. I'm telling you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not a made-up gospel, a man-made gospel. Anyway, moving on from that, but they have a family member that decides they're going to believe Orthodox teachings, the actual teachings of the Bible, okay? What happens to their family? They get pushed out. They're not part of the family anymore. They can't come to the reunions. They can't participate in celebrations. They can't celebrate the holidays because you're not part of us anymore. Are you willing to be that for Christ? You must be, or else you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Think about the disciples themselves. They were Jewish, okay? They had all the law and the prophets and Moses and all their feasts and all that they had been participating in with their family members for many years, as long as they're alive. But now they're following the rabbi, the new guy on the block. But the new guy on the block is the Son of God. And they believe it. And they're willing to give up their families. They're willing to give up their lives for this cause. The cause of Jesus Christ. And folks, not just other religions. Worldly pursuits are like religion. People worship and sacrifice things to them just as they do to other religions. They sacrifice their time, their talents, their monies for simple, quick pleasures. You know, I'm a football fan, I'm a baseball fan, you know, but I'm going to tell you what. Mankind, whether it be sports teams or whether it be whatever it is going to fail you. Look at the football game last night. Okay? Good start, went downhill quickly. All right? We have situations in our lives where it starts good, we think we're good in the meaning, we think we're honoring God by doing it, but if we rely on man, what happens? It falls apart every time. People trick us, they deceive us, they betray us. Even people that we love and hold dear, the only one who does not desert us or trick us or betray us is God Himself. And when that happens, you are set for eternity. All right? The worldly pursuits are many. Wealth. All right, I want the biggest car. I want the biggest house. I want the biggest bank account. Family. I'm going to allow my brother-in-law or sister-in-law, whoever, to say all kind of blasphemous things against God when we're in our meetings. I don't want to cause any waves. I want my family to love me. But if it's more important than Jesus Christ, you got your priorities mixed up, folks. And you cannot be His disciple. That's what God says, not me. Now, Jesus said this in more than one place. Yes, He said it here in Luke 14. But Matthew 10, He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Folks, I'm speaking particularly of if you've got a child or you've got a parent who do not understand that you belong to Jesus Christ and they don't want you to participate. They don't want you to talk religion. They don't want you to talk anything about Jesus Christ. They get up and they run away because they don't want to hear it. Folks, you got to let them go. Okay, because you stand before God, and what are you going to tell Him? "Well, I was ashamed of you, Lord. I didn't want to speak up for the truth." You best be careful. Because Jesus said, "If you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you before the Father." Okay, now I think that goes just more than those situations. I think that means denying him, just rejecting the faith completely. Okay, now that's a whole other ball game. All right? These are hard words to hear, yes, but God commands us to honor our father and mother and to take care of our family, yes, but our primary obedience is owed to God, period. So if our parents try to pull us away from the Father like Jamal's did, or even hurt you or try to kill you or anything along those lines, then you are to follow God, period. You have to make the choice. And when the choice is made, you're either blessed or you're cursed. What do I mean by cursed? If you die without God because you're ashamed of Him, or you didn't want to have trouble, or you didn't want to stand up for what the truth is, then you're going to be separated from God in eternity. That is the curse. But if you stand up, even at the point of losing your life, not just being killed physically, but losing your family, losing your job, losing all that kind of stuff, well, guess what, brothers and sisters? You are blessed for eternity because you are with God for eternity. And there is no other God. Him alone belongs all praise, honor, and glory. For He made us all, didn't He? He did. So anything that separates us from God, we need to walk away from it. And then it says in verse 27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Giving up the things that we hold close to our hearts for the sake of Christ is something the world will not endorse or even understand. It is part of carrying our cross, our individual cross that we have to bear. We might have to give up our beer. We might have to give up our buddies. We might have to give up some things we do on Sundays. We might have to give that all up for the sake of honoring Christ. But guess what, brothers and sisters? It's worth it. It is worth it, 100%. How can it understand, the world, is what I'm talking about. How can the world understand it? They don't have God. It's only when the Holy Spirit enters you and you understand just what Christ has done for you and just what you owe to God that you can begin to understand that you can give up these things that mean less and less. That's that hating I was talking about earlier. These things that are important to us now get less and less and less. You know, some of us reach a point in our lives, it's like a door being opened. We suddenly, through something that happened to us, understand that things that we thought were important are no longer as important as they were. And that's a scary thing because we like comfort. We like being comfortable. We like understanding that things are going our way and we have control over things. Folks, we don't have control over anything. That rain that came this morning, there could have been a tornado and it could have ripped this roof right off of here while we were sitting here. You don't believe me? There's one church in Alabama that I'm familiar with that's lost a sanctuary 3 times to tornadoes over the last 20 years. They keep rebuilding in the same spot too. Go figure. But anyway, it's amazing what we get comfortable with. We get comfortable with the way we speak, with the way we think, with the way we act, what we eat, how our family members act, how our job acts. And we sometimes, in that comfort, let things slip by that we would normally not, as followers of Jesus Christ, allow to slip by. To a true disciple, bearing the cross is life-giving, but also difficult if we try to bear it under our own strength. Even Jesus Himself had Simon help Him carry that cross on His way to Golgotha. God, through the Holy Spirit, helps us carry our cross by putting people in our lives, by putting situations that we depend completely on Him to get through. And He helps us bear that cross. And it is life-giving. And yet, when He helps us, we can bear that cross all the way up Calvary if we have to. And then when we get there, we bear the brunt of the world's hatred of God, of the Bible. Didn't Jesus have to sit there? Not only were the disciples and His mom at the foot of the cross, but all those Pharisees were there. He saved people. Why can't He save Himself? If you're the Son of God, come down off that cross. If you're such a good Christian, why don't God miracle you out of that? People say that to us, laughing and mockingly. Folks, it is going to be a very bad situation where they themselves stand before the throne and have to give account of every word that they say. That is a fate I do not wish on any of my enemies. Okay, now folks, when we bear our cross, that's all part of it. It's all part of it. And that is the cost. There is a cost to following Jesus, a cost some will not bear. They don't want to pick up that cross. They don't want to give of what God asked them to give, whatever it may be. They don't want to stand up in the workplace or stand up in the school or stand up to their friends. They want to leave that cross right there because it's heavy. It hurts. I am not the same person if I do that. Well, absolutely. That's the whole point. You are changed. You are no longer what you were. You are now what God wants you to be, which is the best to be. Absolutely. All right. Now he talks about the cost. Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower, sit down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? How many of y'all started a project and weren't able to finish it because something happened or you didn't have the money? None of y'all? Okay, a couple. All right, that's good. Folks, it's just like that building. If we are going to become Christians, we need to understand that there are going to be costs involved. We have to give up. And like I said, this doesn't save you. This is just something that happens because you love Jesus. You give up the things that separate you from God, whatever that may be, whether it's something physical that you do or someone that you know or somebody that you care about. If they hate God, you have to give them up. Now, it doesn't mean you stop loving them. It just means you stop approving of what they do. It means you stop helping them do what they do. You stand for Christ in all situations. And folks, that gets very personal. I understand that. Because we all have people that we love, that we want to follow Christ, that we want to spend eternity in heaven with. And yet, sometimes they just thumb their nose at us and say, I don't want that. May God humble them to such an extent that they accept the truth of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes it takes being humble to understand your faith. I'm a prime example of that. I was a Christian growing up in youth group, everything, and when I got in the Navy, I did some things I'm not very proud of. And God humbled me. He humbled me to a point that I understand that when I got home, I was going to follow Him, and by George, I did it. Not blowing my own trumpet, because it was only through God's mercy and grace and help that I was able to do that. And when I did that, it was a miracle in itself. Okay, because God put me on a path to where I am now, and I wouldn't do it any other way. A lot of folks say, oh, I wish I could go back in time and relive or whatever. No, I don't want to go back. I did some stupid stuff back there. Some of y'all are going, yep, I know what you're talking about, preacher. Well, the internet makes it twice as easy to do that. Now, like I told you a couple Sundays ago, that nostalgia that we all feel when we see the internet and things like that is our desire to go back to a time and place and people that no longer exist. I am not the same person I was when I woke up this morning. Neither are you. You cannot turn time back. I don't care what crazy Discovery Channel show you watch saying it's possible to time travel and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. The only person that can travel through time is God Himself. Why? Because He made it. He created it. He is the builder of time as well as the entire universe. He sees the end from the beginning. He saw me when I strayed, and He saw me when He brought me back, and He saw me a year from now, God willing, I'm still here. You know, He does all this stuff. But bearing our cross now, here, right where God has placed us, is what we are called to do. What does that look like, brothers and sisters? It's individual. It's individual. Christ was an individual carrying that cross with Simon's help up that hill. We are individual carrying our cross now to wherever He leads us. Remember we used to sing, wherever He leads, I'll go? Remember that hymn? Folks, that is true. If we are true disciples of Christ, wherever He leaves, I'll go. Even if we go by ourselves, because we are never truly alone if we have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, we have a company of ministering angels, and we have all of our brothers and sisters who are praying for us. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, your prayer, when I was in that hospital and home right afterwards, your prayers helped me. I felt it. I was strengthened by it. It is what we do for brothers and sisters. We pray for each other. We uplift one another. We help one another, however God calls us to do that. And that is what has sustained me. But that would not be possible without your love of Jesus Christ. You have borne the cross in your life to come to the point you have. You've put up with people, preachers included. You've put up with people. You've done things. You've helped people. You've loved folks that weren't lovable. You have left behind things that were not godly so that you could be closer to Him. You have borne your cross too, and you will continue until you get to see your faith face to face with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when I'm doing funerals and stuff, and I got to be careful the way I word this because it does sound crazy on one level, But sometimes I envy the folks in front of me in the box. Not because they're dead, but because they're getting to be with Christ at that moment, if they are followers of Jesus Christ. The other guys I don't envy, so don't worry about them. But I want to see my Savior. You know, coming close to seeing Him was scary enough. But you know, if I know He's waiting for me, I can face anything. I can go through therapy. I can get up and preach. I can go places. I can talk to people that don't really need talking to because they're so mean and stuff. Why? Because Jesus Christ is my King. I have given up my life so that I can live for Him. And folks, that's what He calls every one of us to do, to give up what makes us comfortable in order to follow His direction and His leadership. Now, it says, less happily in verse 29, after He hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beholdeth began to mock Him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Okay, after about the 10th time I rode by that house that was being built, I started to laugh. Man, that guy must be crazy. How much money did he spend to put all that lumber up? I bet you there was $6,000, and this was in 1990-something. I bet you there was $6,000 worth of lumber out there that just rotted in the weather in a Mississippi summer with mildew and everything else, and termites and everything else, simply because he ran out of money. And I find out he didn't die. I asked the people who lived close to it. No, he just ran out of money. He was going to get a loan to finish it, but he didn't get the loan. Something happened at the bank, and he didn't get it. So what was he going to do? He'd already spent all that other money. He just left it there. And eventually, about 10 years later, early 2000s, it finally just fell over. All that work, all that effort, all that money, gone because he didn't finish it. Now, how do I relate that to Christianity? We in current American Christianity have failed to disciple the possible cost in our faith. We want people to come to Christ, absolutely. But we're criticized a lot of times for something people call easy believism. Okay, all you do is believe. Well, yes, all you do is believe. For the Bible says that if you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is Lord and Savior, and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, we read that this morning, as a matter of fact. But let me tell you that. You have to believe first. But once you believe, then you start working. Then you start moving toward God in obedience. Not for salvation, you have that, but for love. For honoring our Savior. For loving Him, for doing what He did. And remember, He said, people will know you are my disciples if you love one another as I have loved you. And yes, He loved us. Folks, it's hard for us to imagine because we don't have our faculties. This is all done in faith, in our heart, in our mind, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we didn't see Jesus physically go up the hill, but we know He did. And how many of y'all have seen something, a movie or a video or something, where Christ is being crucified and felt the love that He had for you? I don't know, Shiny and I got to go watch The Passion of the Christ when it was in theaters, okay? And I'm going to tell you, when they were beating Jesus, the Romans were beating Jesus in the courtyard, I cried. When that part where the cat of nine tails ripped out His flesh, I like to lost it. And let me tell you, at the very end where He stood up and He saw the hole in His hand, I know it was a movie, but in my mind, I was transported there. I was like, yes! You know, that's what it meant. It meant that I was going to be able to do the same thing because He did it first. He gave us eternal life, and we have that forever. Nothing can take it away from us. And honestly, if we really believe, we can never give it up. Now, if you pretend it and don't really believe, that's a whole other ballgame. You never had salvation to begin with. But once we have salvation, the cost has been paid. We can put up the whole house. In His Father's house, He has built many mansions, or rooms is the better translation. He did the building because He paid the cost, and all we had to do is move in. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? You wake up one morning, and somebody comes to you and say, hey, brother so-and-so, I love you, so I built you a brand new house. It's got two garages, it's got a pool, I've paid the taxes, I've paid the utilities for 3 years. You know, it's yours, just move right in. How many of y'all would like that? Several of you, right? Well, God has already done that for us. But this house is permanent. It's eternal. All we got to do is take the key from Jesus, who's giving it to us willingly, and says, I have the key to death and hell. Okay? And that means that we no longer have to fear death. We will be alive forevermore in the rooms that He has prepared for us. I go to prepare a place for you. For not so, I would have told you so. He told his disciples in that in John chapter 14. All right, well, let's move on. The point I was trying to make is new believers must be taught that faith in Jesus may cost them, may, not necessarily will, but may cost them everything, including their lives in some cases. You've got to be willing to give it up if Christ calls on you to do that. He may not. He may not call on you to do that. Not everybody's called to be wealthy. Not everybody's called to be a martyr. A lot of us are in between, you know. But the ability and the willingness to do that when Jesus calls upon us must be ever present in our hearts, in our minds. Because let me tell you something, at some point it's going to happen. At some point they're going to come knocking on the church door with the shutdown signs all over it. And they're going to arrest us in the parking lot, or they're going to come into the preacher's house first. Let me tell you, the preachers are going to get going first. And then the Sunday school teachers, and then the other ministers, and then the people in the pews. Why? Because we're not agreeing with what the government or whoever's in charge, the Antichrist, however you want to say it, they're in charge at that time. And folks, that spirit is alive today. All right, not just in politics, but in everyday people. They don't want the church to survive. They don't want the church to thrive. They want the church to die on the vine. And folks, the crazy part is, we are the ones in the church that are letting it do that. Because we're not teaching that following Christ is more than just, hallelujah, amen, I'm saved, let's go. No, it's more than that. That's part of it, absolutely. But there is a part where we're going to have to bear our cross, whether it be with a family member, with a co-worker, with a boss, with a teacher, with a supervisor, with a best friend. It's going to happen. They're going to say, well, I want to go do this, and you're going to have to say, no, I can't do that. Why not? Because I belong to Jesus Christ. And they're going to laugh at you, they're going to mock you, they're going to tell you not to have anything else to do with them. But you know what? It's okay. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Never, ever forget that. So we need to teach new disciples, those that come to faith, that there's going to be a cost. We don't want to scare them off. Absolutely we don't. But we don't understand this is not something you do lightly. Jesus commands us to tell them that there is a cost, that in this world they will have tribulation if they belong to Him. If they made fun of Him, they're going to make fun of those who follow Him. Folks, get ready for it because it's coming. It's already here in many cases. Verse 31 just kind of repeats what verse 28 and 29 said. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way, he sendeth an ambassador, desireth conditions of peace. You know, it made sense. Do I have enough in myself to do this? Do I have enough strength? Do I have enough ability? Do I have enough talent to follow the Lord wherever He sends me? If you don't worry about it because He's going to give it to you. When you ask for it, He's going to give you in that moment the words to say. He's going to give you the talent to do whatever He calls you to do. Now, it may take some work on our part as far as getting trained and stuff like that. Like, you can't be an accountant just because you can say 2 plus 2, right? You got to go to school and figure out about debits and credits and how to fill out books. Then you can become an accountant. But God gives you the knowledge and the ability to learn, doesn't He? And when you do use that in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, not even the gates of hell can prevail against you if you do in God's will. We, church, must not only stand firm in our faith, but we must teach the next generation of believers what could occur in the not-so-distant future. Folks, it's difficult. I understand that. Because we don't want to think that kind of stuff will happen. We've been in a Christian nation all these years, folks think. Folks, it started out that way, but just like everything else, what starts out good eventually breaks down. I talked about the tractor in the field a couple of weeks ago. You get a brand new John Deere, you sit them out there, you oil them up, you gas them up, and you go park them in the hayfield. What's going to happen in 10 years? It's going to break down. You're not going to be able to run it. It's going to be rusted into place. Christians, when we get saved and we sit on our doofuses and we don't get up and we don't do what God has called us to do, we rust out. We become useless. Our testimony dies with us. Folks, that is not what God wants to happen. We need to train our new believers that there's going to be problems, but you can overcome those problems. You can do whatever God has called you to do through Him. And if we do that, they'll go into the world, into that minefield that the world's out there, to use Brother Norm's expression, getting ready and watching where we step, being able to do what He calls us to do. We must be ready for that knock on the door. The loss of all our material goods. the prison door slamming behind us, and our family being dragged or deceived away from us. Not only will they physically drag them away from you, they will deceivingly drag them away from you. They will put in their minds thoughts and ideas and morals that have nothing to do with the Bible or God's Word. And they will teach them that's the right way to do it. And we'll fight it and we'll argue it and we'll say, no, this is the truth. And yet they will laugh at us and scoff at us, people that we love and care about. It's difficult, but it happens. But Pastor, that is a too high a price. I've had people tell me that. I had a lady one time in church when we were talking about doing things for God even when you're old, and she was like, I'm old enough. I've already done everything. I don't want to do anything. I just want to rest. I'm really sorry that person felt that way. Because as long as you're breathing, you can do something for the kingdom. Whether it's praying or giving or helping or encouraging, whatever it may be, whatever fruit of the Spirit that you possess or gift of the Spirit that you possess, you can do something in the kingdom of God. You've got to be willing to do that as well as to give up things. You've got to be willing to work hard at whatever God has called you to do. Despite the criticism, despite the people talking about you, despite the people putting roadblocks in there, because there's nothing that they can put in your way that God cannot and will not overcome if you do it for His will. Nothing. But Pastor, that's too high a price. Well, what did Jesus say? Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You got to be willing to give it all up. But I don't want to. Well, then you love the world more than you love Jesus. But you don't understand. Oh, yes, I do understand. But it wasn't me that understand. This is the words of our Lord and Savior Himself. You must be willing to forsake all that you have. Whether it be your family, whether it be your possessions, whether it be your status, whether it be your job, whatever it may be. If you're not willing to give it up, then you're not worthy to be His disciple. And like I said, this is a harsh and hard teaching, but it's a true teaching. Very, very true. God does not call everyone to martyrdom, to give up their lives. But for some, yes, God wants you to take care of your family, but does that mean that they become more important than Him? For some, yes, but not for the true followers of Jesus Christ. All who follow Him must be willing to give up all for His sake. Well, Pastor, what have you given up? I've given up a lot, folks. I give up my home state. I've given up family because a lot of them didn't want me doing what I'm doing. But I'm going to tell you what. I put it in God's hands, and that's where it's staying. And one day we'll figure it all out when we get to heaven. What have you given up? And I'm not saying this saying I'm better, like, because I'm not. I'm like Paul. I'm the chief of sinners. Okay, I'm just. It's a miracle that God saved me at all after all the things I've thought, done, and said over my life. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm willing to give up even more as long as I know that God is happy. What about this and what about that? You can what about all day long. And you know what? That doesn't matter. Because you cannot stand in front of the truth of the gospel and say, it doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you and everyone that follows the name of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat it. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Notice there's a difference. It didn't say will not be my disciple, because there's a lot of people that think they can have both. We talked about that a little earlier. They think you can have all the money in the world, all the position, all the status in the world, but yet follow Jesus. How many politicians do we see on national TV, especially around Easter time? They're Catholic and they have the little cross on their head. They went for Lent and Ash Wednesday. But these people are applying murderous policies, and they're filled with bribes, and they're filled with thievery, and they're filled with self-ambition and all these things. Oh, but I follow Jesus Christ. No, you don't. You follow yourself. You're in a system that allows you to follow yourself. Be in the system that God created, the Word of God, and a relationship with Jesus Christ that means more to you than anything in this world. That is the system you should be in. Like I said, He doesn't call everyone, but He does call all to believe. He doesn't call everyone to be martyrs. He doesn't call everyone to be poor. He doesn't call everyone to be wealthy. He gives wealth to those He chooses, and you're to use it for His purposes, for His kingdom. Yes, take care of yourself. Enjoy it. It's a blessing from God. But use it to help those that He puts in your path, whoever that may be. All right, moving on. Jesus and the Holy Spirit have left us encouragement in Scripture to help us be ready to bear our crosses. Okay? Several verses here. John 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Our peace comes in Christ. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says, you're going to have trouble in this world, but have a good heart, be merry, have good cheer, because I've already whooped them. Okay? It's like the school bully. You know, you expect one day, you go, he's going to steal your lunch money again. But when you get to school, you find out some of your friends have taken him out behind the woodshed and laid down the law. Okay? How do you feel at that moment? You're happy that you're not going to be bullied anymore. We can be happy that Jesus Christ has already taken care of the enemies that try to oppose us and try to falsify things about us. He's done it. And God says through Paul the following, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's not just physical death. That's dying to yourself, giving up what you think is important in order to glorify and honor and please God. It's amazing. I got a little thirsty. Somebody done took my water. That's all right. Philippians 3:7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul was willing to give it up. And look at the glory that God put on him. Yes, he got his head chopped off, but you know, that was pretty quick compared to what some of the other disciples had to go through. Think about that for a minute. Are you willing, church, to suffer the loss of all the earthly distractions for Jesus? Exodus 32, about the golden calf, tells us, verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And what happened to the sons of Levi? They became the priests of the Lord. Everybody else got swallowed up and had to drink that ground up calf mixed with all kind of evil things because they had sinned against God. But the ones that were on the God side were blessed from that generation forward because they were given the blessing of being the servants of God in the temple and the tabernacle. Now here once again the words of our Lord and King. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, how do we apply this to our lives today? First of all, and this goes without saying, we must at all costs put Jesus first in all things, always. Whether it comes to family, whether it comes to hobbies, whether it comes to enjoyment, pleasure, whatever it may be. Christ comes first if we are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Second, we need to be ready to forsake what God asks us to forsake. There may be something I like doing that isn't godly. I need to give it up if God calls me to give it up, which He will if it's ungodly. Okay? If there's a person that I'm hanging out with that's doing things that are ungodly, that God says you need to separate yourself from the things of this world, He will put that in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. And you will get a very strong feeling, I don't need to do this anymore. Be obedient to that. Forsake it. And whether it be a material thing, whether it be drugs or alcohol or smoking or whatever it may be, if God calls you to stop it, stop it. Okay? Don't give in. And folks, there's a lot of things. We were joking about the internet earlier. There's a lot of things I see on the internet. First, it makes me sick to my stomach. Second of all, it makes me fight mad because of things they say about my God and my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And third, that wants to reawaken the old flesh that's in me. Folks, stay away from those things. Don't look at those things. Walk as far away as you can from people that want to bring you back to those things. Give it up. But I need it for this, I need it for that. Use it for what it's for. Be a tool. You know, I can take a hammer, as I said last Sunday, and I can build that house or I can hit somebody in the head and kill them. It's simply a tool. Okay? Give up the evil that's leaking your flesh, that's leaving you down that path. Give it up. And third, most important, we need to keep our focus. Keep our focus on what God has called us to be. His children. We are children of the King. We are daughters of the King. We are sons of the King. When we are in Christ, and nobody, no weapon forged by man, no thing made by the devil can pull us away from Him. Yes, we can be tempted, and yes, we can even fall into temptation. But you know what? If we confess our sin,
He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That was spoken by John in 1 John to Christians. That's for Christians, folks. That's for us. If we fall into sin, first of all, if we say we have no sin, we're not of God. We have sin. If we fall into sin, then we give it up and we confess it and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Folks, y'all can tell my voice is starting to leave. One more and we'll be done. So I want us to think about that as we stand today, as we stand with all the things that the world is trying to do. I want you to picture Moses, okay? Not just Moses, but picture Jesus standing beside him. And Moses is saying, who is on the Lord's side? I don't care if he looks like Charlton Heston or not, okay? Because that's what I think of when I think of Moses. I think of the red and the stripes and, you know, the staff and all that, standing on the hillside as the Red Sea parts. But he says through Scripture and the Holy Spirit, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And he's pointing at Christ. Jesus said, Christ, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. When you are in Christ, when you go to Christ, you go to the Father. And nothing ever will take you away from Him if you are willing to understand that price that must be paid, which is love, honor, obedience, loyalty, all those things. Because you love Him. Your salvation is through Christ alone. But once you're saved, honor Him as God and King. Praise team. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Let's rise, please.